If you will turn to 3 John, we're going to start right there. That's just before Revelations and all of that. Because this is a very important scripture to us. He says, "The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper." But he added something else to it. "And be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." So what we're going to talk about today is the area of the soul. Because he says our soul needs to prosper. Well, what's in the soul? It's your mind, your will, and your emotions. So we're going to break those down. And today we're going to talk about the mind, the will, and the emotions. And then next week we'll get into the will and the emotions, and I can hardly wait to get into those emotions of yours. I can hardly wait for the word to get into those emotions of yours next week. So that's what we're going to finish out this year on, is the mind, will, and the emotions. So the complete Jewish translation says, "I am praying that everything with you prospers." Everything with you and your life. He was praying that it will prosper. And then that includes money that we've talked about for weeks and weeks and weeks. It includes every area of your life. And that you be in good health. And when I look up that word prospers, one of the meanings was that everything in your life succeeds and that everything in your life thrives. Boy, that's a good life, isn't it? And I'm thankful that I'm living that. And you say, "Oh, but there's been attacks come against you." That's all right. I've overcome them.
That's right.
Amen. Because we're in this world, but we're not of this world. And that's something we need to remember. We're in this world where there are attacks that do come, but we're not of this world. We have access into the kingdom of God. We have access into the realm of faith, you know, and we'll overcome. We are overcomers. The Word of God says, how do we overcome?
By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony.
Yeah, by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, by faith also. And so that's why we study the Word, is because faith comes from hearing the Word. Okay, and Psalms 142:7 says, "Bring my soul out of heaven that I might praise your name." Psalm 142:7. Bring my soul. I think I just read it. I mean, quoted it. Is that correct? Psalms 142:7. Okay. But our soul needs to be brought out of bondage, because the soul is so important in your everyday life. And we're, like I said, we're going to get into the mind. So why is it important that we prosper in the soul? Why is it so important that we prosper in our mind? Well, I can tell you why. It's difficult to prosper in any area of God's word in your life, whether it be physical, mental, emotional, friendships, whatever, relationships, whatever, without your mind being prospered into the word of God. You're not going to be prosperous in any of those areas unless your mind is prospering with the Word of God and growing in the Word of God. Our mind, will, and emotions needs an umpire. I believe that, don't you? And that umpire, what is that umpire? It's the Word of God. That tells us how. It tells us how not to think also. And so we're not to think the problem. If we're praying to God, we're not supposed to pray the problem to God. You pray the answer. Anytime we pray a problem, that problem is magnified in our mind. So we always pray the answer, not the problem. Quit talking the problem. Say amen. And I've had some issues the past 3 or 4 weeks with telephones that, oh man, those problems were mighty, but I finally just said, I'm casting that care away. You know, It'll be okay. Everything will work out. So anyway, we can't let these things trouble our mind, because they do come because we're in the world. But our answer is always in the Word. Amen. So in Proverbs 4:23, it says, out of the heart or out of your soul. Now, something you're going to notice in some of these scriptures, when it says, when the word spirit is mentioned, that means the soul. And we'll kind of cover some of that as we get into it. But it does not mean the spirit man all the time. It means the soul when it says spirit. So it says, out of the heart, he's talking about the soul there, cometh the issues of life, and we are to guard it. Why do you need to guard it? Because Satan, he comes from the outside in, and he begins his attacks in our mind with thoughts, things that we see, things that we listen to, people that are around us. Satan is trying to get control of our mind. He wants us to think those negative thoughts. He wants us to accept them. You know, we're going to think these things because thoughts come and go. And as Tom always said, you're never blank in the mind. You're never blank in the mind. But it's up to me, my spirit man, to control those thoughts that I let into this soulish realm. Remember the mind, the will, the emotions. Because what comes into my mind is going to affect my emotions. Very much so. It's going to affect every area of my life. And so that's the part that Satan's after, is your mind. He wants an entrance into his mind. But you know what? I don't have to give him an entrance.
That's right.
The way I don't give him an entrance is to say, no, I'm not thinking that. The thought comes. We're not saying you don't have thoughts, wrong thoughts. But the thoughts come. But probably, Kayla, when you gave that testimony a while ago, you may have had the thought, how are we going to pay? Was it income tax? No.
It was our CPA.
Oh, okay. Oh, pay your CPA. How are we going to pay our CPA? You probably had that thought, but you didn't accept the fact that we don't have the money. You trusted probably seed that you have in the ground. You knew you had seed in the ground. And so what you do is you call for that harvest. Father, I thank you. I've got seed in the ground. And the money will be there for us to pay him. Now, how, in your own natural mind, how are you going to think, I don't know how he's going to do it. That's his problem. Because he will do it. Somehow it's going to come into your hands. God uses people. That's why we need to be blessed financially. Because somebody was the answer to give you the harvest. I mean, God used somebody to get you the money. And that's true with everything, you know, that we have. God uses people. So we have to be available in every area of our life. Whatever God says, you know, give so-and-so that $100. What if you didn't have it? See, he wants you to be blessed financially, he says, so that you can be a blessing. I love to bless people with finances, don't you? Praise God. And, you know, you start out in this walk, financial walk, of being a blessing where you are. Some people are more advanced in the teaching of the financial prosperity than others. And so they start out, but you start out by being a giver. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom. And I like that running over, don't you? Then you have to give. Okay, so I want to go to Proverbs 25. And let's see, that's chapter 25, verse 28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down without walls. Okay, now stop and think about this. Who is he? Me who? Spirit. Me, the Spirit. Okay? So it has, then the soul, when he says, he that has no rule over his own spirit. So when he says spirit, he's talking about your soul. Because who's the he that's going to have control over that soul? And that's what I had mentioned earlier. When he says spirit, a lot of times he's talking about soul. Because you are the he, the spirit man is the he that's going to take control over the soul. He says that he is like a city that is broken down and without walls. So he that hath no rule over his own soul, is what we're talking about here, is like that city. Now the Message Bible says this, a person without control is like a house with its doors and windows knocked out. It's giving anything free access. It's giving anything free access to come and go. And that's the Message Bible translation. So this scripture tells me that I can control what I allow into my mind and into my thoughts. Seems like things come by just thoughts. And like we said, we're not blanking the head. Thoughts are going to come because we are in this world. And so I have the ability to control what I accept. God has given us that ability to control what we accept. And it's through the Word. This gives us the ability. That's why the Word is so important. That's why I can't go a day without reading and studying the Word of God or listening to a minister or whatever, because the Word is so important to me, because Satan attacks our mind. He wants to give us those terrible thoughts. Okay, so the Word is comparing our soul to a city that has no walls. We have to have walls and boundaries for our mind, what we allow to ourselves to think on. So then in Proverbs 16:32, well, we're close there. Let's turn over there and read that. 16:32. Oh, my. Look what he says here. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that ruleth his spirit, soul. Remember, the he is the real you. So you've got to get that clear in your mind. The he is the real you. So he, your spirit man, that ruleth his soul, is what he's talking about. That he that taketh is, well, let me start over with that. I messed that up. And he that ruleth his spirit or soul, than he that taketh a city. Now then, in the complete Jewish translation, it says, he who rules his soul is better than he who captures a city. He's mightier. Your mind is where the walls and the gates are to your life. Remember, the mind is part of the soul, and our mind is the gate to Satan. That's why we've got to close those gates to him and not allow the doubt, fear, unbelief, negative things to come against us. And to know, our mind needs to know what to do. When Tom bruised both sides of his brain, he was a, Barbara, he's a team roper. And he raised up underneath the chute gates, those steel bars, and bruised both sides of his brain. And it was a process of that brain, I guess, trying to shut down. And he started by not being able to lift a leg. He would take his leg and have to lift it up to get on a step to come into the house. And he then he started having seizures. So we took him to the doctor. And the doctor said he had a brain tumor. Well, David and Susan and I were standing there, and we never answered that. But we didn't let him go any further, the doctor go any further. And he said, well, just, you know, you can't, doctors, I mean, they didn't do a test or nothing. But Satan was trying to get to our mind. okay? For us to agree with what he said. And so he said, just take him home, take him fishing or do whatever. Well, he was having seizures. And so David, of course, you know, our family, we're fishermen, or they are. I just listen and watch them and eat fish when they come in. But so David took him out in the boat because that would be good for him. Guess what happened? He had a seizure. And so I thought, okay, you know, we got to do something here. So we had a house that we had leased at Groose Ferry Lake because he was a scuba diver. He and Charles Capps and Lynn Meek, they scuba dived all the time and fished, spearfished under the water. So we just took off up there just to get away. Well, I was sitting out in the front porch. I don't know why I'm telling all of this, but I'm telling you the word works. But a lot of you don't know this part of our life and the attacks, but it's after the word that we knew and our mind. Because fear, God says, I have not given you the spirit of fear. So fear is a spirit. Amen? And God said, I didn't give it to you. Well, if he didn't give it to you, who gave it to you? Yeah. And listening to the wrong voice. Satan does that. So I was sitting out in the front of this little house that Karen and I spent many hours at. And I kept hearing this noise coming from inside the house. And it was just a, you know, just a real terrible noise. I sat there a while and finally I thought, I think that's Tom. I jumped up and went in there and he was into one of those grand mal seizures. And his eyes were set in the back of his head, and he was just about gone. Okay, what are you going to do? What's in you at that moment has got to be the Word of God. I didn't have time to think. It was serious. And he was still in that seizure for probably close to an hour, a grand mal. So I jumped in the middle of him. I straddled him. I didn't think. My mind was full of the Word of God. And I rebuked that and I grabbed him and I said, you'll live and not die. And anyway, so I called 911. He was still in it when they got there. Guess what they said? Is he on drugs? Is he a druggie? Well, listen, I'm telling you this to tell you, man can paint images to you. And that was another attack against, we're talking about your mind today. That was another attack against my mind. And I said, no, sir, he is not. And I told him, he said, well, they loaded him up, of course, and took him to the hospital there in Heber Springs. And they sent him straight to Little Rock. Well, praise God for the doctor we had. Because he said, has he ever hit his head? All this time, God was perfecting that which concerns me. Amen. And see, that's the word. He said he would perfect everything that concerns you. You need to learn that scripture. You need to learn it. Because what God ministered to me, and I told you this every week here lately, that God showed me that he's perfecting even things that I don't know about that's fixing, that was trying to happen. Well, so this doctor is retired. I think he's passed away since then because he was an elderly man. And I said, yes, sir. And I told him about him hitting his head. He said, well, he's bruised both sides of his brain. Both sides of his brain. And, of course, he wasn't supposed to recover. But he did. And you know what? He got to start scuba diving again. I don't know why I'm sharing all this with you. I don't know. Do you mind? I think it helps you to know. We as teachers have to live what we teach. He was a team roper. And do you know what it is to dally your rope? Well, he was a header. He would catch the heads and David would catch the feet. Well, he roped the horns on his steer, and you dally it, you grab your rope when you catch that steer, you grab that rope and wrap it around the saddle horn so the calf can't keep going. And so he did that, but guess what? His finger was in the dally. I could write a book about my husband. He was one. Let me see. He was a man of faith. I'm telling you. And so it was hanging by the skin. Don't you love these stories? I'm telling you, the word works. What's in you, Satan, we're talking about the mind. We're talking about the mind. Don't forget what we're talking about. Well, what was his thoughts? He had to have the right thoughts at that time. Well, I didn't know all this was going on. And so they got him to a doctor, and I don't remember whether it was Conway. I think it was Conway. And so he said, I just as well take it off. Tom said, no, you put it back on, and this was his words, I will do the rest. You remember that? He said, I will do the rest. And he said, well, you'll be back in 2 weeks, and I'll be taking it off. No. He put it back on, and he did the rest. What was in him came out of his mouth. So concerning your mind, what's in you, up here in your soul, your spirit man will feed those thoughts that come. Well, I'm going to lose that finger. But he didn't. And he was able to type and use that hand. He shot himself in the leg. Y'all want to know about my husband, I guess, today. He shot himself in the leg with a pistol. We're country bumpkins where we live. And he had it cocked, and he was putting it back in his holster. We were dating. Are you having fun with all of this? We were dating at the time, and we lived over on Highway 7. He lived out in Pleasant View. And when he was putting it back in his holster, the gun went off and shot in his leg. He walked where Susan lives, all the way back to Grady and Pa's house. He went to the bathroom and cleaned it up. Listen, if the word's not in you, you won't do this. But now, I don't know whether that was wisdom or not, but he knew the word. He trusted the word. Now, I would have gone to the hospital because I would not have been where he was. And so don't, you know, if you shoot yourself in the leg, you do what you need to do. But anyway, I love ladies' Bible study. I don't know why I'm sharing all this today. So he got down to the house, went in the bathroom, cleaned it up, sat down and ate lunch with his daddy. And he was in high school. And they let him drive a school bus. And so he had to come to my house. His mama worked for a doctor in town. So he stopped on the highway. I went running out there, jumped into the bus, and I was so glad to see the love of my life. And he said, well, I don't want to scare you, but I just shot myself in the leg. And I'm on my way to Dr. Williams' house. And let him look at this. I tell you those stories because, listen, the word is real and life is real and things happen. They happen to us. And I don't want you to think that when you see us stand up and teach this, that we don't have to use the word. Satan attacks us more so, I think, sometimes. I could tell you more stories. Like getting a hook in the eye, fish hook. You know, but he was so full of the anointing, the word of God. And you know what? I trusted him. I thought anything that happens to him, it's going to be okay. Because I could see his faith. Amen. Well, there's more stories, but I'm not going to get into any more stories, but praise God. He was quite a man. I'm going to tell him about some of this stuff when I see him. Okay. Well, where am I in my notes? Okay. Your mind absolutely needs to know what to do. And if you don't read this and study this, your mind's going to accept what it's hearing and seeing all of these bad reports. But he has given us authority over all of these things, praise God. So I think that's where I was talking about no rule over the spirit, okay. But I don't have to allow all those thoughts to rob my mind. But you need to know what to do when things do happen. Okay. In the Bible, it talks about cities that had walls, and without walls, that those cities were vulnerable. Without any kind of walls, those cities were vulnerable. And the same thing is true with our mind. We have to have walls and we have to have boundaries in our life, that we don't allow those thoughts to come and stay in our mind. So they had gates into the city, but at night when darkness came, they closed those gates. And they put guards where? On the walls. So what do we need to do? We need to put guards on our mind and not allow just anything to come in. And if you don't guard your mind, we're like that city that has walls that are broken down. And I want you ladies to realize the importance of what you expose your mind to. There's a lot of things that might be legal or allowed for me to be able to do, but I don't do them because I'm guarding my mind. I don't go certain places that may be okay with you or for you, but I just can't do that. I have to guard my mind. And I think the responsibility when you're a teacher or a minister of any kind, that I think you do have more restrictions maybe that you need to obey. So anyway, you know, when darkness comes, I thought of this when I saw this glass of water. I'm going to get a drink of it. See how clear that is? But when we allow things to come into our mind, I asked Brenda to bring me something. What happens? It is not the same. It's cloudy. Your vision, what you see, is clouded. And that's why we have to protect what we expose ourselves to. It was so clear. But when we start allowing things to creep in up here, it's going to cloud our vision to where we don't see right anymore. And we're not as strict as maybe we once were with what comes out of our mouth and all of that. So in Matthew chapter 12, let's just turn there. But the mind is so important to us that we don't accept a lot of junk into it. Do you know what our mind is? It's a house of thoughts. It's a house of thoughts. And so we've got to guard those thoughts that come our way and not allow them to stay if they're not with the Word of God. Matthew 12, let's go to verse 25. Well, we see here where Jesus had cast out some devils. And then they accused Jesus of being from Satan, that he was casting that he was a devil himself and casting out devils by Beelzebub. And Jesus knew their thoughts. And he said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. The thing I brought you there for is that our mind and our spirit needs to be in agreement. And when they're divided, it says, you're not going to stand. Now, I want to read it to you out of the Message Bible. No, let's see. This verse, I'm going to drop down to verse 29, and I'm going to read that. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? And the Message Bible made this pretty clear on verse 29. How in the world do you think it's possible in broad daylight to enter the house of an awake, able-bodied man and walk off with his possessions unless you tie him up first? Tie him, my glasses are fogging up. Tie him, though, and you can clean him of everything he has. We're talking about the mind. And verse 30 says this is war. The very first line there. This is war. So once again, we see here that if Satan can enter in things into your mind of doubt, fear, there's so many things of this world that if we let them enter in and take possession of our mind, it's like he's tied us up. And Satan can come in and he can take possession of whatever you have. We're giving him an entrance into. That's how important our mind is, that we clean out those things that are there. And like I had said, our mind is just like a glass of clear water. It's nice and clear until we start letting something else come in. So darkness, anything that's dark has darkness to it, will cloud our mind. And when our mind gets clouded, we're going to talk wrong. We're going to release those words. Well, I am so afraid of so-and-so, you know, or I'm you know, this economy, I just don't know where the finances are going to come to pay these bills. See, that's clouding your mind, and to where you're really believing it, because we believe what we say more than anybody else. And did you know what I say, I can pass it on to you? That's a danger. You can pass it on to your children or anybody that will listen to you. And there are people that like to listen to you. And there are people that Satan will send across your path that will put things into you. And you better know the word of God. And you better, you may not can tell them verbally, if it's an offense, you know, that no, but you can say to yourself, I'm not going to accept that. That's not for me. It's not for me. Okay, so praise God, the word gives us the ability to train the mind. This word will train us to receive good thoughts instead of bad thoughts, to where it will become normal to you. And that's where we want to get, Cindy. We want to get to where it's automatic. My mind is automatically turned not to think certain thoughts, because I have those principles, those boundaries that I won't allow my mind to think on. And so boundaries are good if you use them right, okay? So, and the reason people get discouraged and depressed is because they don't reject the bad thoughts. If you don't think them. And you know, the word of God says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Think about that. A happy heart. Oh, my. Okay. In James 1, it talks about a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now, I want to give you Adam Clark. commentary. Excuse me. He says, the man of two souls. Remember, James says, a double-minded man, double-minded. And the mind is in the soul, part of the soul. The man of two souls who has one for the earth and another for heaven. See the split there? The division? The house that's divided against itself? I'm going to read that again. The man of two souls who has one for the earth and another for heaven, who wishes to secure both worlds. We want to be a part of both worlds. Such persons can never, they can never know progress, the progress. We cannot be double-souled. We won't experience, he says, the divine things if we have a double soul. If we are, and you know, people that don't know the word and don't control that soul and what they think, they're both. Don't you know people that are both heavenly minded and at the same time earthly minded? We can't be that way. Can't be that way. Now the Barnes commentary says this. It means one who has two souls, where he says that, one who is wavering or inconsistent. It is applicable to a man who has no settled principle. Principles. Do you have principles in your life? What have you settled on, or have you settled? I have settled that I'm not going to think those negative thoughts. See, that's a settled principle. I have settled the fact that I am a giver and I am also a receiver. See, you've got to get that as a principle in your life. Don't just let the principle be, I'm a giver. But include in that, since I am a giver, I am also a receiver. Amen. So, let's see, let me go back and read that again. Who has a settled principle? Who is controlled by passions? Who is influenced by popular feelings? Who is inclined to one opinion or course of conduct? That conduct, that's talking about a double-souled person. That's what he is. He's partly heaven and partly earth. Not committed. No commitment to the word, to do and be and act what the word says. It depends on the feelings. It depends on somebody's opinion. It depends on who you're with, where you go, whether you alter those things or not. And I just can't go some places that other people go. And it's not that that's that bad, but I just can't alter that part of me. Like where they're playing all of this, there stands the glass, fill it up to the brim. You know, some of those old country songs and all of this stuff that they play in these places, I'm not going to expose my mind to that. I just cannot do that, because anything entering in has an opportunity to plant itself. You know, I just can't do that. And I'm sorry, but that's just the way I am. I cannot go some places that may be okay, but they're not okay for me. And so if you do those things, that's okay for you, but it's not okay for me. And I will never judge you or anyone. Where you go, where they go, anybody goes, or what they do. That's not my business. You know, I love this thought here. John Burge taught a message that has ministered to me so much. And the Holy Spirit brings it up to me. He taught a message last year sometime, Tanya, I don't know when it was, and it's none of my business. It's none of our business, I think was the name of it. It's none of our business. I'm telling you, One way Satan has gotten into your mind is when we start tending to other people's business. I'd like to find that that teaching that he did, because it was awesome. And I'm telling you, I don't know how many times the Holy Spirit reminds me of that, but I would like to help somebody with their business. Really and truly. Intercessors, you have to watch that. You can't get involved in other people's business. And I know God spoke, he probably taught that just for me. Because I'd like to share with them, look, this is what you're doing wrong. Or this is what you should do. And I don't know how many times the Holy Spirit says, be quiet. Don't say a word. And as Kenneth Copeland told Jerry Savelle, you need to learn the vocabulary of silence. And and that's been powerful to me. And, you know, that's not a joke with me. I mean, it has helped me because I wanted to get into other people's business, especially when they say something that, you know, well, you know, I hope that helps some of you busybodies. I'm just laughing. I'm sorry, y'all. That was not a joke. Good joke. That was not a good joke. But ladies' Bible study, we do get away with a few things. But there are such people that are busybodies, that they want to get into everybody's business. And boy, I mean, that shut me down. That I watch now. That what the Holy Spirit will tell me, that's not your concern. Maybe that sounds nicer. He's telling me, that's not your concern, just leave it alone. Because if we don't watch it, Satan will use that to get into our mind, and it will become our concern. That does sound nicer, doesn't it? The other was pretty plain. It is not my, and I don't know, I mean, I've had that happen last week. The Holy Spirit, that's not your concern, leave it alone. Boy, I just knew I had the answer for him, but, you know, praise God. You know, sometimes the Holy Spirit just puts reins on us, draws us back in. Well, I'm having fun teaching today. Been a little different, but anyway. Okay, let me see. So, we don't want to be double-souled. Absolutely not. So, I need to keep a check on my mind. What's happening in my soul? I asked myself that this morning. What's happening up there in my soul? And what I think the Holy Spirit was telling me, and I just wrote it down, he said, he's telling me to take an inventory of my thoughts. What have your thoughts been today? What are your thoughts going to be when you leave here today? I'll guarantee you the Holy Spirit's going to minister to you after today. It's not your concern. Praise God. Okay, let's look at Proverbs 17 and 22. I've got to check my time. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth up the bones. You know, we had an acquaintance that used to come to church here years and years ago. They don't even live here anymore, so don't try and figure out who it is. But this scripture, she was going through a divorce, this lady was. And she literally drew up into a fetus position when we went to see her. Her happy heart was gone, a merry heart. She did not have a merry heart anymore. Well, you've got to guard your heart to make sure that it doesn't affect your heart in that manner. But when we went to see her, she was literally drawn up in her bed, because she had lost her joy. And this scripture, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. She needed that. She came out of it. Praise God. But that's so sad. to let Satan get a hold of your mind in such a way. See, thoughts started. I don't know what her thoughts were, but she got so depressed, and the thinking of her mind and what was going on, that she didn't have a merry heart anymore. Well, do you know that joy of the Lord is part of our spirit? And when I get to a position where my joy is not what it needs to be, I call on it. I say, okay, joy, I'm needing you today. And I say, I call you up in, and I do this, I call you up into my soul because that's where I need it today. Are you getting that? It's in you. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, and faith. These are in you. And so I demand them to come from here, what's in my spirit, up to here. Because then I will start thinking right. And I'm telling you, people need that joy. And it's in there for a purpose. Because it'll affect your body. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, praise God. So the Amplified says, a happy heart is good medicine, and a cheerful mind works healing. That's the Amplified version of that. But a broken spirit drieth up the bones. We have to watch those things because Satan, everything, the only entrance he has into our life is through our soul. Everything, absolutely. Depression, anything, sickness, disease, everything he has to come through our mind, and we have to accept it. And if you don't know what to say to those attacks when they come, you're in trouble. But what's in us? Love, joy, peace. Call on that peace. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, faith. All of those things are in there. Call on them to come out of here and transfer them up to your mind. And you can say, I transfer that joy that's in here up to my mind. That peace that I've been robbed of up here, I'm talking to you. You're right in here, and I'm talking to you, peace. You come up here to my mind. You see, we have to apply the word. It's not enough to know it. It's just laying there dormant. But we have so much power in us, the word that's in us, that if we don't apply it, it's dormant. It's just dead. Praise God for the Word of God and for the Holy Spirit. Okay, Adam Clark says, a merry soul, it says heart, but when he says heart there, he's talking about your soul. A merry soul doeth good to the body. Nothing has such a direct tendency to ruin health and waste life as grief, fretfulness, bad tempers, and such things. Now that is the Adam Clark translation of that. That's pretty powerful, wouldn't you think? Nothing does more harm to your body and to your mind and to your health than a soul that is under attack. A merry heart is gone. And those things creep in on us. And they affect our body. And you think they don't affect your body? They do. They affect your body. Your body will start to shut down. Amen? The Barnes commentary says that a merry heart worketh a good healing. Isn't it amazing how all of these things affect our health? All of these things do. So this is a quote. When your spirit is wounded, and this gets back to some of the type things you were talking about, Brenda, when you looked up, that when your spirit is wounded, the chemicals in your body will be affected and will change. And that, that's true. Those of you that are in the medical profession especially know that. Your heart may beat faster, and your blood pressure may go up. You know, when I go for a checkup with my heart doctor, when I go in and sit down, my blood pressure will jump up so high. And he'll say, the nurse will say, is your blood pressure usually like this? We're going to wait about 5 minutes, and we're going to come back and take it again. They come back in 5 minutes, and it's down. Well, that's what he's talking about here. Okay? So he says, your blood pressure may go up, and then he says there's other changes that can take place in your body. Okay. So he says, in order for you to stay well, your soulish realm must prosper and be healthy also. Remember what we started with in 3 John? I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. So we see from that scripture how important our soul is if we're going to have health. I loved it because he added health. God knew that this was an area that Satan was going to see. He doesn't want you on earth. Satan doesn't want you on earth, especially you that have the word and are born again. He wants to get rid of you. He wants you off the earth because he knows the power that's in you. So there's a lot of talk in our nation today about keeping aliens out. I looked up the word alien. It means belonging to another country or belonging to other people. Belonging to another country or people. Well, I took this and I thought, we have to get rid of all the aliens in our soul. All of that, all unforgiveness, anger, jealousy, fear, you know, doubt, all of those things are aliens in our mind. We've got to clean them out. We've got to get rid of them. Do a little cleaning there, okay? So you can think of all the things in your own life. Disappointment in people. That is a big one. You know, we put people on a ladder up here. They're people, y'all. They're human beings living on earth. And Satan attacks everybody. And everybody's not as perfect as you are. You know? I'm not as perfect as you are. In some areas I may be more perfected in, than in other areas. So don't look at those areas that I'm not as perfected in as what you may be. That'll help our thinking. We're talking about our mind today, amen? So we know what aliens we have to get rid of in our own life. If not, the Holy Spirit's going to tell you after today. And you got to listen, this was something for somebody today. He said to let those past hurts and disappointments in people go. Now, when I wrote that down because he said, there's going to be some people there that need to let those past hurts go. Yes, yes, yes. Quit letting your mind go to those. It's Satan's business to bring them up, and it's your business to cast them out. And there's a lot of hurting people that are living their hurts today. And he said that there's going to be some ladies there today that need to do some cleaning out and let them go. So let's clean out our soul this week, girls. Let the Holy Spirit minister to us. Every thought that enters our mind has different sources that they come from. Every thought, they're going to come from just within yourself, just normal thoughts that come and pass through and all that. And then there's some that come from Satan. But the most important thoughts that come through our mind are the ones that God gives us. And that's where all of our thoughts come from. Just remember, we're never blank in the head. And let's not let any thoughts in our mind. Listen, don't let any thoughts stay in your mind that you don't want planted. Because when we continue to think on the same thing all the time, whether it be good or bad, we're planting them. And guess what? that what will happen, they'll grow. So don't let any negative thought, any bad thought be planted in your mind. Get rid of it, dig it up, do it with the words of your mouth. Amen?